Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 156. It's your trade deadline recap episode. We're going to go through a ton of trades, pretty much everything since we last spoke to you last Thursday night. So Randy Orozarena, sorry, we got you. Good. From then on, we're going to talk about it. And some will be quick, some will be in depth, but we're going to get the best fantasy analysis we can give you to get you ready for these. A lot of moving parts to go with them. You can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and the man to help me break it all down as usual. You can find him on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Doing great. Awesome, awesome deadline. Not even just like the deadline day, but the last, whatever, 3 or 4 days. I feel like there was more action like over the weekend, like days away from the deadline, than there has been in years past. So it's been a pretty fun stretch of days, as I just get a notification that our mascot has stolen his 24th base and has 3 hits as we hit record. So that's also good. And he did not get traded.
Not yet. Nope.
You know who else didn't get traded? At least I didn't see him on the rundown, but you may have missed it. Blake Snell.
Did not get traded.
I don't think Therese he got traded. He's still, not he's still traded. On your Giants, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's in the dugout right now as I watch the game. Yes. Ouch. He's there. And, we'll talk Giants at some point when we have to, but it's been a weird 24 hours by the Bay. Before we get to that, First Pitch Arizona, we've talked about it before. Registration is open. The early bird discount is going on for a little while. Check that out. The hotel blocks are becoming available as well, so check that out. And Ryan, you can go deeper into that if you'd like and talk about what else we have going on.
You're proactive. You got your room already, didn't you?
Yes, room is booked. Flight is booked. I'm ready to rock and roll.
I got my flights. I haven't done the room yet, so I will do that. The early bird deadline is actually up. It runs through this Friday, August 2nd. So there's actually not a whole lot of time to get that early bird discount, which I think is 35% off the conference price. So if you're interested in attending First Pitch, Joe in the chat, yes, the room blocks are available already through Baseball HQ's site there. Yep. And all information about First Pitch Arizona, which, again, we cannot recommend enough. We won't harp on about it every single episode, but you get to hang out with us for 3 or 4 days, which may be a pro, maybe a con, but a bunch of other really fun and cool people in the industry as well. And I don't think we've directly promoted it on the podcast, but we are bringing back golf's fifth major. Yes. And that is the Bubba and the Bloom Open, which will take place this year on Sunday, right when the conference ends, right around noon or 1 p.m. So if anyone out there is interested going to First Pitch Arizona A, or just live in the Phoenix area and want to play golf with us, we had 4 foursomes last year and hoping to get that again this season. So reach out to either me or Bubba and we will get you on our list for golf. To kind of cap off the conference. That would be Sunday, November 3rd would be our golf outing. And the conference starts on Halloween, on October 31st, on Thursday. So let us know if you're interested. We'd love to have and hang with all of you out there.
And I will say this, because it's the same. It's the case for Ryan and myself. And I know like DVR and some other people have voiced it. You know, we all have kids, so we're missing the Thursday. Doesn't mean you can't go. We're flying in Friday. A lot of people are flying in Friday, flying out Sunday or Monday. So don't let that deter you, is what I'm trying to say. Is it's still a fun weekend. Just because you can't be there Thursday doesn't mean you can't come out and have a great time. So don't let that stop you from coming out and joining the party. As Joe Rico says, Dobson Ranch, that is likely where we're going to play, but we're going to shop around. We're going to look around and maybe try a new venture, but Dobson could be the place. The perfect, for those that have played golf with us, it's the perfect setup for our event. Let's put it that way. It's the way I'm going to phrase our event.
Basically, to leave it short, they sell high noons. And so they basically
buy the bucket.
Buy the bucket. I mean, that's how you get to Bubba's heart is bucket of high noons.
Bucket of high noons. And then they also have like a makeshift top golf driving range and music blaring. And it's a good time. It's a fun event. And they've taken care of us. They've hooked it up when we've gone. So pretty cool deal. So I've always been one. If you help us, we'll help you. And it's a fun little deal. So yeah, if you have any questions or you like to play golf or whatever, hit up Ryan, hit up myself, and we'll get that going for you. As right now, it looks like we're close to, I think, two.
I think we got about two or three, something like that.
Yeah, we had four last year. So keep it coming.
I'll get a list down, but yeah, a little preliminary, but we will start firming things up quickly.
before we get into the trades, Ryan and I were talking off air. He's watching one game. I'm watching one on my phone to see who closers are. Ryan, do you see who's about to blow the save for the Dodgers in San Diego?
I do. Just gave up a home run, solo home run to Manny Machado. And no, it's not Daniel Hudson. It's not Evan Phillips. It is Blake Treinen on for the ninth after the eighth inning of Anthony Banda. So if anyone, and as I speak, Blake Treinen just gave up a home run to Jackson Merrill, thus killing the win for Tyler Glasnow.
We just got a live Ryan Bloomfield killing the win, folks. You are welcome.
Come on, people.
It's so great because Ryan and I, a little behind the scenes here, and we'll get to the trade deadline, trust me. We always get on the air about a half hour beforehand and we kind of talk and, you know, talk about the show, talk about other things, but just kind of talk baseball. And he's like, seven good from Glasnow. He's going to get the win tonight. I said, don't speak too soon, buddy. You got two innings to go. And there it goes.
So. Actually, I mean, Glasnow aside, very cool moment. San Diego's going crazy right now. Yep. San Diego, LA is just an awesome, awesome West Coast rivalry to watch.
But we'll see.
I'm watching
the Angels game. It's still bottom eight. The Angels are up 10-7. They're trying to make it a non-save situation. So we'll wait and see on that one.
All right.
Let's get to the trade deadline. And again, folks, we're going to do our best to cover most of the relevant stuff. I'm not going to hit every relief pitcher that went for a minor leaguer. That's going to be the seventh inning guy on a team. We're not going there just yet. But we'll start with a big one that took place, I believe, on Friday. And he's on my T-shirt. The one and
that's
only.
Right.
Jazz Chisholm traded to the New York Yankees. This is a big boy move when all things are said and done. Jazz has been awesome. He's played third base for two games now. He's hit four home runs in three games. He's like, I loved when you tweeted out, it's fun watching these guys wear the wrong, you know, outfits basically. It's been three games. He still has the purple armband, the green belt, and the green, green shin guard. Like, that makes me laugh. He's been absolutely amazing. Comes over to the Yankees, jumps in, and it's been fun. So what are your thoughts on this one? Because he's playing third base for now, which makes things even more entertaining, honestly.
Yeah, the belt and the purple, all that stuff might actually stay because, he's hit those four home runs since switching over to the Yankees. So obviously an excellent move for Jazz. Just as a lefty in the park is fantastic. I think the biggest thing is – you mentioned third base, Bubba. Like, Jazz Chisholm is, I'm pretty sure, definitely going to pick up in-season third base eligibility, and probably if he plays 20 games, get third base next year. So he would be outfield third for next year. So that might be the biggest takeaway. We've talked a ton all season about how third base, corner, and Fab has been so bad. You might get that gift of Jazz Chisholm at third base. Last note I have on Jazz is we weren't sure where he would go in the order. It sounds so far he's been kind of like fifth or sixth. Remember there was a interview with Aaron Boone. They're trying to ease him in. I think eventually they will go to leadoff unless he keeps hitting home runs like this. Maybe he'll stay at fifth or sixth, but wherever he's in the lineup, that's an awesome move for Jazz Chisholm. On the flip side,
real quick.
Go ahead.
I don't know about tonight's two home runs, but it was even funnier last night's two home runs because he didn't have all his equipment yet. But with Aaron Judge's bat, by the way. He hit him with Judge's. Like, that's right. It's just been and listening to Jazz, like, first off, he's the perfect guy for New York personality. But listening to him talk about just, you know, he grew up liking Jeter. He's wearing A-Rod's old number. He just talked about watching and playing with Judge. It's been fun. Just fun to experience the Jazz Chisholm outside of Miami for the rest of the world to see. But okay, on the flip side, what do you got for us there?
Jazz did also homer off a position player. So there is that. That was one of his four. But what did you just say whoa for?
So we mentioned Ben Joyce pitched the eighth inning for the Angels.
Yeah.
Hunter Strickland is coming in the ninth for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's
the
your boy, Giant, man.
The former I want to fight Bryce Harper. Hunter Strickland is coming in to pitch for the Angels. So we'll see how this goes for the next few days, but that could be a fun one to talk about on Thursday night.
Hunter Strickland coming back from the depths to blow Fab budgets one more time in the year 2024.
Good luck with that one, folks.
That's
goodness.
That's
crazy. All right, so flip side. All right,
yeah, so. It's not good, man. We're like 5 minutes into our first bullet and there's like 40 bullets. So
buckle up, get hydrated.
The flip side to this Miami trade is surprise, surprise, Xavier Edwards has moved to the leadoff role. That's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and that has happened. And Xavier Edwards hit for the cycle last week, like just on a heater right now. So excited to see how Xavier Edwards finishes out these last 2 months. And in super deep leagues, Nick Gordon, I think, goes from a platoon guy to pretty much probably an everyday player. We'll get to Brian De La Cruz. He got traded away as well. So Nick Gordon, if you're in NL onlys or even in deep 15 teamers, you know, power speed has been there in the past.
Yeah, I like that. I actually had Gordon on some waterfalls in 15s, not obviously a priority, but I was starting to see that. That was with De La Cruz still there. Just he was already playing more as it was. And you mentioned De La Cruz, so we'll talk about that. Makes a ton of sense. Carlos Estevez traded to the Philadelphia Phillies from the Angels as the first reliever taken out of Anaheim. He heads to a bullpen that still has Hoffman, still has Jose Alvarado. When they asked Carlos Estevez his role would be, he says, basically, I'm like a piece of sand on the beach and wherever they want me, I'll be. I'm not even exaggerating. That was his quote. So what's your thoughts on Estevez, though? Because he's not going to be the everyday guy. We've seen Philadelphia rotate by matchups, essentially. Is this like a hold situation, or how are you kind of approaching this?
No, I think it's a hold, and you probably keep him active. If like Estevez pitched the ninth today, I believe in a tie game against the Yankees, pitched the top of the ninth. Hoffman then pitched two innings in extra innings. So Jose Alvarado, by the way, pitched the sixth, got one out and left. So like I have Jose Alvarado on a few teams, and that's quickly becoming a drop for me. I think it's between Estevez and Hoffman, but Carlos Estevez has pitched super well this year. He's a testament to how volatile relievers can be from year to year, but that's a separate conversation. I still think you hold Estevez, and I personally lean to Estevez getting the majority of the save ops more than Hoffman.
Yeah, it would make sense if you traded for him. You'd think you would use him, even though Hoffman's been very good. But we saw the Phillies actually bolster their bullpen last year for the playoff run, so it doesn't surprise me they did it again this year. They made another move, though. They got an outfielder, an everyday outfielder, in Austin Hayes, who was platooning with the Baltimore Orioles, playing only against lefties because he mashes lefties. But the Phillies, when they acquired him, flat out said he's our everyday left fielder. Like, he's playing every single day, and he has so far. And he went deep on Tuesday, actually, I believe.
That's total base.
Against Will Warren. So he had a combo meal. That is beautiful. So yeah, Austin Hayes, he became a very intriguing fab option this past week after that trade took place. And so I'm interested in him. What are your thoughts on Hayes heading to the Philadelphia outfield?
Yep, great move for Hayes. Ballpark first and foremost, and well, probably playing time first and foremost. Like you said, the Phillies have backed up what they have said, and Hayes has started 4 games in a row with a lefty included in there and 3 righties. And just getting out of Mount Baltimore or whatever they call it in left field is a huge park upgrade. Though he's hitting ninth with Philly, like whatever, at least you're playing every day. I think Austin Hayes comes back to being a definitely startable outfielder in 15 teamers as long as he's playing every day.
Yep. And on the Philadelphia side of it also, it turned center field into a platoon with Brandon Marsh and Rojas. So Marsh had like some 15 team viability at one point. That's probably going to disappear unless it's a righty heavy week. So just keep that in mind. He's more of a stream now than a just lock and load in a 15. And on the Baltimore side of things, Colton Cowser has been locked into the left field spot. Now they face primarily right handers of late. So I guess we'll still have to kind of wait and see. But and they traded for some right handed outfielders we'll talk about later. But for now, it's been Cowser, Mullins, and Santander pretty much every day. Even though everyone was like, oh, Heston Kjerstad's going to get so much more playing time. That has not happened yet, folks.
Agreed. It has not. And I also wonder what this means for like Heston Kjerstad, who wasn't playing much at all before. And now, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so. With the other moves, he could be heading back to AAA. Zach Eflin, the O's needed starting pitching. We'll get to another pitcher pretty soon, but we'll start with this one. Zach Eflin joins the Baltimore Orioles. Frees up rotation spots in Tampa Bay, which you'll talk about here in a second. But he was good in his first start with the O's. Gives him a rotation to Burns, Grayson, Dean Kramer, Eflin, and then we'll talk about the fifth guy here pretty soon. But it seemed like a no-brainer move for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yep, seemed like a decent get for the O's on the Tampa. I mean, there's nothing really doing with Zach Eflin. You're probably starting him before. You're starting him after. On the Tampa Bay side, opens up like Jeffrey Springs came back this week, pitched, I believe pitched this evening, pitched three and a third, three and a two thirds. And then your boy, Tyler Alexander stays.
You're welcome.
Stays in the rotation. Actually, I think got the win tonight, piggybacking Jeffrey Springs. So we had talked about Tyler Alexander, I think last show or last week. Anyone in that piggyback role is interesting from a win standpoint, and it certainly seems like Alexander is that type of guy going forward with the Rays.
Yep, he could be that piggyback guy, and as the season goes on and pitching gets worse and worse, those guys become more and more valuable on a week-to-week basis. You don't use them every week, but they will have their moments. Yimi Garcia of the Toronto Blue Jays was traded to the Seattle Mariners to add bullpen depth there. They have Andrés Muñoz, of course, in the back end of that bullpen. They're pretty loaded back there, so it feels like Jimmy's going to head into an eighth inning role, it feels like.
I believe all three appearances for Yimi García has been in the eighth for Seattle and in front of Andrés Muñoz. So from Yimi García's fantasy value in pure saves leagues, I think he's a drop. I don't see – maybe picks up the occasional save, but this is your typical eighth inning guy at this point. So I think Jimmy's a drop. On the Toronto side, they ended up not trading Chad Green. So Chad Green is most likely still going to man the ninth for the Blue Jays, though did pitch, I think, the seventh and eighth in leverage in his last outing. But I think the majority of your save ops in Toronto are going to go to Chad Green. So what a flip from like a couple weeks ago when Jimmy was on the aisle coming back. I almost dropped Chad Green. Yep. I was like really regretting dropping Yimi García. It turns out with this trade, Muñoz is safe for the Mariners and Jimmy, I think, is a cut.
Yep, Jimmy is a cut, and go get Chad Green if he's still hanging around. That could be a fun one. James Paxton was traded to the Boston Red Sox because he was DFA'd by the Dodgers. Paxton proceeded to get lit up by the Seattle Mariners, as you would expect. The Red Sox just need bodies, basically, at this point, so that's what Paxton gives you. He's going to go every fifth day. For fantasy, though, it's pretty much not worth our time.
Correct. I always just find it funny. Just baseball rules. Josh Bell got waived, yet was still playing for the Marlins earlier this week. Paxton got DFA'd, yet can still get traded. James Paxton is terrible. I don't think you start him unless it's a very like awesome matchup based two-step, something like that. But if anything, it boots our guy, Cooper Criswell, from the rotation. Criswell is firmly in whatever, long relief. So sucks for Criswell, who I really liked. I think is better than Paxton, but Red Sox are going to go with their guys. So whatever.
Then the Red Sox also traded for Danny Jansen. And at first blush, it felt like Jansen was going to be the everyday catcher. Like that was reports that it said like Wong will catch and play second base. Jansen will be the catcher. That has not happened, Ryan, since the trade took place. It's pretty much been Colton Wong's world still. And that's been kind of surprising to me.
Danny Jansen DH'd against a lefty on Sunday, his first game available with Boston, has not caught yet for the Red Sox. And Connor Wong has actually started five games in a row at catcher. So I think it's pretty clear it's Connor Wong and then Danny Jansen sprinkled in. Wong's still the primary guy, making Jansen unrosterable even in two catcher leagues. I love the tools. I know he's having a down year, Jansen. Like if Jansen had primary playing time, I think there's some rebound opportunity there, but you can't really roster second catchers on MLB teams.
Nope, you cannot. Jesse Winker got traded to the New York Mets. Winker's having a good year with the Nats. His first two games with the Mets, started at right field, batted fifth on both games, which is nice. Like I wrote about it when the trade went down. I'm like, I expect him to platoon with Tyrone Taylor, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that because they have not faced a lefty yet. What's your thoughts on this? Because it feels like Winker is still going to have some fantasy appeal in this one.
Kind of. Like, it's a great lineup. It's a better lineup, for sure. The Mets can hit the hell out of the ball. But I think the miracle run of Jesse Winker's stolen bases, remember Jesse Winker, who has 14 steals so far in 2024, had one combined each of the last three seasons, and probably going back even further. A lot of that, I think, is because Washington just runs wild, has the highest stolen base attempt rate of any team in the major leagues. And you're going from that to the Mets, which who are more middling. They still run, but I don't think they got Jesse Winker to steal bases. So I think the unexpected bump you got from Jesse Winker in steals is probably gone. And we still don't really know if Jesse Winker is going to play every day. That's maybe the downside of the Mets being such a good lineup is he going to play against left-handed pitching?
Well, good question here from PJ. What happens to Winker when Starling Marte comes back? That's a great question. That's a question the Mets are trying to contend. So Winker even makes for a good fourth outfielder on any team. So that makes sense because you still have Nimmo, Winker, and Harrison Bader. Bader's been banged up, but you'd imagine Winker becomes the odd man out in that scenario.
Probably. Yeah, probably, or at least a short side platoon, or, well, Marte's righty. So, yeah, you know, I agree. This is a bad one for Winker, I think.
In reality, I could see Winker platooning with JD Martinez, because if you want to look at some bad numbers, go look at JD's numbers.
Yeah.
He does not warrant an everyday at-bat. So that actually, in a real life, would make a lot of sense. A lot of people would see that and go, what are you doing? Just go look at JD Martinez's numbers.
I'll push back a little. The skills are still there.
No, the skills are there. I'm not going to argue that. He had a good game. He had a good game on Tuesday.
The Mets do need, I mean, you need results on the field where the Mets are at in the playoff race. So I get it. I get it. That's a good call.
The Rays and the Cubs made a surprising move, like out of nowhere, it felt like, because Isak Paredes was linked to the Astros, to the Dodgers, to a few other teams that actually needed corner infield right-handed power. Made sense. Then out of nowhere, Isak Paredes gets traded to the Cubs for Christopher Morel. That was fun. Morel went deep on Tuesday in his first game with the Rays, playing second base, which is cool. Isak Paredes was batting fifth on Tuesday in Chicago. It's been said many times, the ballpark shift for Isak is going to be rough. 315 in Tampa down the line, 355 in Wrigley. That's not ideal. But what's your thoughts on this move? Because like, it seems pretty simple. It's like Morel's going to Morel. That's just what he does. But it could hinder Isak a bit.
It could. It's actually interesting. It's like you said, it's 40 feet longer in Wrigley than it is in Tampa. I pulled up the in prep for the show. StatCast park factors for right-handed homers. They're basically, Tampa Bay and Chicago are basically the same. Wrigley and Tropicana. Tropicana is 18th in terms of park factors for right-handed homers, and Chicago is 20th. Obviously, with Wrigley, it so much depends on the win, but I don't know. I think overall this trade is just kind of like neutral from a fantasy aspect. Morel's still going to Morel, and Paredes is still going to Paredes. If that's a thing, I think if anything, the biggest thing would be Christopher Morel. If he keeps playing second base, picking up second base eligibility in season, then also for next year. The lineup tonight was Christopher Morel at second base and my guy, Jose Caballero at third. Would love to see that hold, because I think Jose Caballero from a fantasy aspect with the steals is massive. So keeping an eye on eligibility for Morel. That's probably the biggest takeaway that I have fantasy-wise for this deal.
Yeah, I like that. And it's something you mentioned on the last show. I know a listener commented on your tweet earlier about it. A lot of these moves are baseball moves, not caring about our fantasy. Morel's got two more years of team control compared to one for Isak. So the Rays are doing Rays things is what that comes down to, folks. Like that's all I think they looked at. They're like, okay, wait, we can get rid of Isak and get a guy that's pretty close to what Isak is in the grand scheme of things and get an extra year out of him. Cool. Sign us up.
That's a good point. It's actually, this is probably one of the more fascinating real life trades. It's just for fantasy. Like unless you're in an AL or NL only league, they change league. So you get a new free agent, but I mean, I don't know, not much changes in terms of our teams, but yeah, from a real life standpoint, yes. The Tampa years of control Rays did raise things.
Yeah, they did raise things. And let me pull this up real quick because I want to make sure I get it right. But I'm pulling up Isak's StatCast page because you talked about the park factors. But I know I heard this earlier today. And if you're a believer in X home runs, which, you know, be with it what you will, you know, he's got his 16 home runs so far this season. In Wrigley, he'd have 11. Obviously, you don't play all 16, wouldn't come at home. But it does show there's a little dip. Last year, 31 homers, 25 at Wrigley, 20 and 18 the year before. So they're close, but not like, you know, too far off. So similar to what you said, but there is a difference as well. The Padres bolstering the bullpen. I was trying to think. We actually talked off the air about this one, so we'll talk about it here. Yeah. They made a few moves. We'll get to the big move later, the big one that took place on Tuesday. But over the weekend, they picked up Jason Adam from the Tampa Bay Rays. And this was interesting because at the time when Jason Adam got traded to San Diego, there was rumors that Pete Fairbanks was getting traded to the Yankees. like during the same process. So then I'm sitting here writing my fab. Ryan was probably doing something similar, going, okay, who's the third man? Who's the guy that's going to take both their spots that you could speculate on? Well, Fairbanks is still there for now. So glad that, not to worry about that. But Jason Adams going to San Diego, elite stuff. He's closed before, good stuff. But fantasy is going to be tricky.
Agreed. And I think Jason Adams probably is less attractive now. I think the roster rates for Adam, at least in 15 teamers, were pretty high, like 50% or higher recently. I think that's because of the, what you were talking about, kind of the hope that Pete Fairbanks would get traded and Adam would be the guy in Tampa. But now Adam, I mean, he's still a great pitcher, still probably ratio wise better than some of these streaming starting pitchers as San Diego walks it off against LA. What a game.
LA.
What a game. But yeah, Jason Adams, I think, is buried behind some combination of Tanner Scott and Robert Suarez for the Padres. And like you said, Bubba, Pete Fairbanks on the Tampa side did not get moved. So status quo in Tampa there.
Yep. Status quo in Tampa. Well, we'll get to the first fun in San Francisco. Sunday, I think this was Sunday evening. I tried to block it out of my mind at this point.
This was
Sunday evening.
This prompted your all caps WTF exclamation, exclamation, exclamation tweet. Classic. Yeah,
I've come back a bit thinking about it, but I'm still kind of not happy about it. Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson. Luke Jackson can go. That's totally fine. But Jorge Soler traded to the Atlanta Braves for a bucket of balls. Basically, the Braves took on all the money.
Cash.
So, right. When we get to the end of all the Giants trades, I'll give you my full thoughts on what took place in San Francisco, because you kind of need all of these to make it make sense. But Soler goes back to Atlanta, the scene of the crime where he went nuts. We see the railroad home run in Houston, all that kind of stuff. Goes full beast mode. And what I was mad about is he's been leading off for the Giants, and he's been amazing over like the month of July. An OBP approaching 400 as the leadoff guy. The power has not come around really at all this season, but Soler has been hitting much better. He's getting on base a ton. And I think he's going to be a welcomed addition to an Atlanta offense that's quietly waking up over the last week. So I think it's a big move there. But for fantasy, it's tricky because he could easily platoon.
Could platoon. I think the biggest upshot fantasy is Jorge Soler was going to be DH eligible or yes, DH 100%. Only next year. Soler is outfield eligible in 2024 because he played last year, but played zero outfield games for your San Francisco Giants and now should play enough to get outfield eligibility. But yeah, Soler will have to play the outfield, which is kind of another, in terms of like real baseball, another wrinkle that may affect his hitting. I don't know. As someone who has not played the field at all, I'm kind of assuming this. I don't think they're putting Ozuna back.
Ozuna's not going in the outfield. That would be, no.
I mean, Soler may be a disaster, but Ozuna would be. Would be a disaster. So there is that. Do you think this pushes Adam Duvall further down? I mean, it's another right-handed corner outfielder.
Duvall's got to go. He's been pretty much, I've dropped him in every format I have him in. He's pretty much worthless. It's been a lost cause. I'm surprised he didn't get thrown into a trade somewhere, honestly. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Duvall put on waivers pretty soon.
He's hit a little better of. I feel like I say that every week because I want it to happen.
But he hasn't.
Two homers in the past week, but yeah, just four in the last month. I agree. I think this is probably the end of Adam Duvall as a fantasy relevant player for 2024.
And as Michael Cicchini in the chat says, Atlanta is seventh for right-handed hitters in home runs. FS is 27th. Yeah,
that's a really
good
point.
When it gets hot, when it becomes hot, Atlanta, that ball flies out of there. So. I think it's going to be a big benefit for Soler as long as they don't try to be like, hey, go platoon with Eddie Rosario or some garbage like that, because Rosario's not been great either. So in a perfect world, Soler just goes in place. But we'll wait and see there. A surprise move. If not the fact that Yusei Kikuchi went to the Astros. The Astros needed a starting pitcher. It's a two-month rental, which is great. The surprise was the return for Yusei Kikuchi, if you talk to any prospect people out there. And again, prospects are prospects until proven otherwise. Just remember that. Because Joey Loperfido has not produced yet, but he's going to get a chance in Toronto. Jake Bloss is a top 100 prospect. They actually sent him to AAA already, so they're going to let him get comfortable down there before we probably see him later this year. So a good return for Toronto. That's maybe a different story for another day, unless you want to hit on that. But Kikuchi going to Houston, I think, is tremendous. He's been very good this year, so I think it's a great move for the Astros that are going for it while their core is getting older. So I think it's a phenomenal move.
It's something. So Kikuchi's really been struggling lately, like has a 4.75 ERA this year, but some really rough outings over his past few. And I think one of the takeaways, at least that I have, because I have Kikuchi on a few teams, is if Houston believes in Kikuchi, then that's a good sign. And, you know, you can debate the return and all that. I think that's kind of outside the purview of our pod. But you say Kikuchi has pitched much better beneath the surface than his 4.75 ERA would show. Actually has, and what we saw, this quote-unquote breakout season from Kikuchi last season, has the same exact strikeout rate, has a better walk rate, the same exact swinging strike rate, and is throwing slightly more strikes. So you say Kikuchi, despite a mid-4s ERA or whatever, is actually pitching the same as he did last year. And I think Houston sees that too. So if anyone has been on the fence frustrated with Kikuchi, trust me, I think back to that. I think he was up 6-0 or 7-0 through 4 innings and gave it all back in the 5th a few starts ago. So trust me, it's been frustrating with Kikuchi, but I think you hold on and you believe in what Houston sees in him. So I thought that was a fascinating move. I'm glad Houston did it, and we'll see how Kikuchi does the rest of the way. But I'm back to being optimistic.
Yeah, even with like the 3 rough starts he's had in a row here, that 4.35 ERA, still has a 3.75 Sierra. So he's still doing quite well. And you said going to Houston. I'm very intrigued to see how that plays out. And let's think about it. I know it's a balanced schedule, but he still plays the AL East a lot. Now he goes to Houston, and now you get the AL West. I'll take, and given the A's are playing better, Seattle's playing better, I still take my chances in that, those kind of situations. Frankie Montas, the Brewers need a ton of starting pitchers. They needed more than this, so I'm surprised they didn't get more than just one.
Yeah.
And Frankie Montas is a guy I've said many times on different avenues, is that he's a good floor pitcher, but he's for fantasy. Like, he's not racking up K's. You're hoping for, like, it's kind of the Charlie Morton formula minus the K's. Like, give me 5 or 6 innings, 3 or 4 runs, occasionally throw a good start out there. That's Frankie Montas. Now he gets out of Great American, which helps, but goes to Milwaukee. And more importantly, Joey Weimer goes to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And where he went to school at the University of Cincinnati. Yep. And Jacob Junis heads to town too, which actually helps them in real life, but not for fantasy.
Another reason to go to First Pitch Arizona, you get to sit front row and witness the legend of Joey Weimer, the mascot of First Pitch 2023.
Yep, my first year.
2022, there. Sorry, yep. I would add. I don't get this move at all for the Brewers. Like, I think, everyone made a big deal out of the Montas trade. Like, they're getting good Frankie Montas. Frankie Montas is not good. Like, I don't know why the Brewers would just add Frankie Montas. Like, that's almost addition by... or subtraction by addition. I mean, the guy has a 5 ERA. Sierra's exact same. He's not missing any bats. A 9% K to walk. Like, yeah, leaving.
Great, he's American actually been better at home too. That's hilarious.
He's been better at home.
I just looked it up. He's been better at home.
I real life, whatever. I don't know why this would be the move for the Brewers. Like, I don't think Montas is that good. And it was kind of made out that, like, oh, the Brewers got their guy, and like, he's not your guy. So maybe I'm a little too like harsh on Frankie Montas. The whiff rate has ticked up a little bit over the last couple months, but I just see like a below average pitcher right now in terms of year-to-date skills.
The month of July was horrific. 7.71 ERA at a 3.55 in June, 4.86, 4.19. So he's been better. July has torched all of his stats. I'll say that much. What I'm worried about with Frankie is, you know, he missed all that time with injuries. He tired. Is he hitting a wall? Yeah. Is this why he's getting blown up now? Like, it just, for like real life baseball, the Brewers just needed a live arm that could throw 5 innings a day, because they are so depleted and didn't cost them that much. They have a surplus of outfielders, and I think that's the reality of the situation. But yeah, as PJ says, he saw Montas 2 weeks ago against Washington. It was terrible. Yeah, it's been a rough July is what I'll say, and we'll see if it bounces back in Milwaukee. I don't have him rostered anywhere. I moved on from that a while ago. But I think in a real-life move for the Brewers, it at least gives them somebody they don't have to put a bullpen game out there for, is the way I look at it, without breaking the bank.
Yeah, as long as he – I mean, you make a good point about is he tired, because, yeah, did not pitch last season. So I don't know. I've made my point on Frankie Montas.
Yes,
no personal offense to the guy. But.
Would you rather have Frankie Montas or Michael Lorenzen, who was traded to the Kansas City Royals?
Just wait till we get to Trevor Rogers.
We're just tooting you up, buddy. We're just tooting you up. Michael Lorenzen traded to the Royals here. Everyone's saying it's the end of Alec Marsh, which sucks because Marsh is actually, you know, it's been up and down, but overall is pretty good. Michael Lorenzen is not. Like, he has a good ERA, but the if you look at every underlying metric, not good. So this one actually is like, I was thinking, what are you doing, Kansas City? Like, what are we doing here? You guys are actually kind of trying to contend, and you picked up Michael Lorenzen.
Which, so yes, I'll preface this. Yes, Michael Lorenzen is like terrible. He's been worse than Montas this year from a skills standpoint. Does have the 381 ERA, but good God, a 12% walk rate, 6% K to walk. Like, he should be pitching above a 5 ERA. There is the hope that you get the kind of the Cole Reagans thing with this and you kind of put your full trust into Kansas City, but I don't know if this is fixable. And the other thing I actually don't know is how this does affect Alec Marsh. Cause I think it's between those two guys for the fifth spot in the rotation. Like, there's no other, unless they go to a six man. I don't know, but I think you move Lorenzen into the bullpen. Keep out. I mean, Alec Marsh is nothing special, but he's better than
Lorenzen.
God.
Yep. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Cincinnati Reds, they added Ty France, who was DFA'd by the Mariners, and they pick him up. And this is weird because you have Candelario, who's kind of been slumping. I'll admit that, but he's still your dude at first base, third base, or DH. You have Marte at third base. Like, fitting Ty France in here seems odd to me.
Yeah, I just don't think there's going to be, well, certainly for France, I don't think there's going to be enough playing time. So I don't think France, you go up and add, even unless there's an injury or something, because it is a major, major park upgrade going from Seattle to Cincinnati. Like, that's probably one of the biggest changes. Michael mentioned Soler earlier. I think this is up there with them going from Seattle to Cincinnati, but the playing time's not going to be there. I worry a little bit about what this does to, well, they can't bench Spencer Steer. He's too good. But I do wonder what it does to Jeimer Candelario. Like, does he just play 4 or 5 times a week? In that case, that's tough. But I don't know. I kind of looked at this one as kind of a nothing burger. Like, I just think France is there as a bench bat, plays once or twice a week, something like that.
I hope that's the case. Before we get to the 3-team trade, let's talk about another trade the Dodgers made. And they picked up your boy, Ahmed Rosario, got traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is a fun one. Second straight trade deadline that they traded for Ahmed Rosario, which is pretty exciting. My concern here is Lux is playing well. So my first thought is they need a shortstop. Like, Nick Ahmed ain't it. So, like, hey, Rosario, go here. Rosario can play second. He can play third. He can play everywhere pretty much. To me, it feels like he plays shortstop for now until either Betts comes back, Rojas comes back, whatever happens. What's your thoughts on this Rosario deal to the Dodgers?
I mean, I think it's just deja vu. I mean, what we saw last year was this small side platoon, Rosario only playing against lefties, kind of a utility role. That's what I see here. I mean, Nick Ahmed, in his quest to play for every team in the NL West, is not the answer, but is a great with the glove. Ahmed Rosario is... I'm planning to cut him in any 15 teamers I have. I just don't think he's going to play enough. We saw that exact thing happen last year.
Yeah, no, he's your boy. And when that move took place, I texted you and said, I'm sorry. That's basically what it was.
I was like, damn, my man die or something? You were like, sorry about Rosario. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, because I knew how much you liked it. It was kind of like when you texted me and said, hey, I told you I'd text you. Here's Jordan Montgomery's stat line. Dude, so
how about that?
Yeah, it's kind of how it goes. Yeah, you were right. You were right. You got me on that one. I might be cutting him, actually. That'll be a discussion for Thursday, but things are getting rough there in Jomo land. All right, 3-team trade. Let's stick with the Dodgers on this one. They acquired the shell of Tommy Edman, who is still only taking DH in batting practice.
The ghost
still has not played in the field yet in rehab. He was actually in LA taking batting practice tonight or whatever, or in San Diego with the team. So we'll have to kind of wait and see what goes on there because he, like I said, hasn't played the field yet. So it's bizarre. But they also picked up Michael Kopech, which helps them in the back end of the bullpen. As we mentioned, when Trinan came in today and blew it, then Vesia blew it in the ninth. A lot of moving parts, like no Hudson, no Phillips at all. That surprised me.
Right.
So we'll see where Kopech slots in. I'm not the biggest Kopech guy. He throws a million miles an hour, but has zero control and a 2-cent brain. So closings gets complicated with him. But what are your thoughts on these two?
Yeah, I mean, Kopech, I think, stays irrelevant. We'll be interesting to see. The Dodgers obviously think they can do something with their there are tools with Michael Kopech. But yes, in the short term, there are way too many relievers in that Dodger bullpen, and nobody has any idea who's going to close for the Dodgers. There's so many names. Tommy Edman, I mean, running bit on the show, is Tommy Edman actually alive? I'm still not convinced, man. I'm digging my heels in. Like you said, he has, I guess, had a rehab assignment, but hasn't played the field. That's sketchy, man. I'm not sure if he's still around.
Yeah, I'm curious what's going on there. And like when the rumors are swirling that teams are trying to trade for Tommy Edman, I'm like, well, what are we doing here? The dude hasn't even like shown he can play. Every time he tries, he gets a setback. Maybe he'll prove me wrong in September, but I'm not going to wait for that. So.
In all seriousness, like I don't think the playing time is going to be there for Edman. And even if it is, what's he going to look like having such a long layoff with such a really bad injury? Like he's not a power hitter, but like he could really be like one of the worst power hitters in baseball if that injury has been that bad. So I'm not interested really at all in Edman unless he somehow falls into regular playing time.
All right. Now we'll head to St. Louis, where they picked up another starting pitcher. They have a type, if you're curious. Eric Fede joins the rotation. Frank Stanfill just put a picture of all their pitchers' faces. And then if you think profiles, they have a type in St. Louis. So Fede joins the rotation. And they also reunited themselves just in time for fantasy football draft season with Tommy Pham, who had a pinch hit grand slam on Tuesday night, which is pretty fun. But what's your thoughts on this Fam Eric Fede situation?
Yeah, good tweet from our Lord Todd Zola saying that he hoped the Cardinals had their fantasy football draft already because we all know that story. I don't think Tommy Pham, despite the pinch hit grand slam, like the part that I hone in on that sentence is pinch hit.
Yep.
Yeah, like I just think there's so much competition in the Cardinals outfield with Barrel Season, with Brendan Donovan, Newt Barr. Like this just smells like a short side platoon for Tommy Pham. I don't think much changed in terms of Eric Fede. I don't think this changes his outlook for me really at all. This is someone who has pitched really well this year, a 1.14 whip, 3.11 ERA, without the skills to really back that up. So I think Fetty's more of like a 4 ERA type of guy, and that doesn't change for me going to the Cardinals.
Yep, not too excited about either of these moves. They're real-life moves, not fantasy moves in my mind. It just takes Andre Pallante out of the rotation, essentially. If you're interested in him, you're in a deep league, NL-only type stuff. So kudos to you. All right, technically there was a third team in this deal, and it was the Chicago White Sox, who've got a bunch of prospects here. I guess the biggest one was Miguel Vargas. I guess at least he'll have playing time. That's the plus, because they got rid of the Young, who we'll talk about too. So literally, and Moncada's had a setback in rehab, so Vargas can play anywhere he wants right now in the infield. So what's your thoughts on that? Are you going to the Miguel Vargas well?
I am, actually. Like I think Miguel Vargas, this is one of the big winners of the trade deadline, to be honest, because I think he is going to play every day. Like why? I mean, there's no competition playing time with the White Sox here. So I think Miguel Vargas, who I think he's pretty good. I mean, and not long ago was considered a pretty much consensus top 10 fantasy prospect.
It was him and Michael Bush, man. And they're both free, both in Chicago.
That's right. In Chicago. 12% rostered in main events, outfield, second base eligible. I think you take a stab at Miguel Vargas, and this could be a pretty nice final 2 months. This is one of the bigger gainers for me of anyone at the trade deadline. If you fall into regular playing time because of a trade, even though the lineup sucks, we are big proponents of playing time on bad teams. That's what led us to our mascot ring, Ifo.
Yep.
I'm aboard the Miguel Vargas train, I guess.
I'm not opposed to it. I know there's like Gavin Lux, second base outfield, like Tim. Would you go Vargas over Jeff McNeil, who's swinging it really well right now?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking of these middle infield. Like we've talked, what about Max Schumann?
Probably go Vargas.
Okay.
Because these guys are all churn and burn. I'd rather take someone with a ceiling.
Xavier Edwards.
All right, we'll go. We'll go X. We'll go X there.
Tyler Fitzgerald. I think that's a very similar profile.
Yeah,
very
that's similar profile. I'll go Tyler Fitzgerald.
Okay,
yeah.
That's just, I just want to give the listeners kind of an idea of. I agree. I think it's a great.
You agree
chance
with that
Vargas.
Or?
No, I think it's a great chance for Vargas. I think I still might go Max Schumann. Just I let the team context win that one out because the A's offense is actually really good right now. But I agree, Vargas in a perfect world. I don't know where it'll happen because there's the White Sox, so it's not a perfect world. He should hit like third in that lineup.
I know.
There's no reason he shouldn't hit like right behind Lou Bob, basically.
And I guess I should put a disclaimer here that I'm assuming Miguel Vargas will play every day. We will get the rest of the week to find out, but God, he better.
Yeah, if he doesn't, just I talk a lot of trash. I talk a lot of trash on the White Sox on this show and burn it to the ground if so. Like, just go. Like, they didn't trade any of the big assets they could trade. And it's the White Sox. And they got nothing back compared to other teams. I apologize, Mike Carter. I apologize, the doc. Justin Turner traded to the Seattle Mariners as Dylan DePoto. Dealing DePoto keeps doing some big things here. Get rid of Ty France, bring Justin Turner in. Tyler Locklear, peace out again, homeboy. Justin Turner is back in the middle of the order. Got a couple more hits on Tuesday night. We talked before the show, just a great pure hitter. Going to help that offense out a ton. I think it's Justin Turner. It's time to get back on the train.
I mean, I guess. The big thing with Justin Turner for me is like the power, dude. I don't think the power.
Well, there ain't much power.
Like, he has 6 homers and 350 plate appearances, just 9 barrels. So that's really bad. And then you're going to one of the hardest ballparks to hit home runs in Seattle. So like from a fantasy aspect, I actually probably think this is a downgrade for Justin Turner. He's going to hit cleanup, and maybe the Mariners lineup is better than, you know, what it's been. I mean, Jesus, it can't be worse. But I don't think the power is going to be there for Justin Turner. I do think he's a batting average asset. I think this is a guy who has hit. Well, this is a guy who has hit basically .275 each of the previous 3 seasons. And if you can do that at cleanup, that's going to work wonders for your RBI total, especially once Julio Rodriguez comes back, yada, yada. So I like Justin Turner from that aspect. I love it for the Mariners. They needed to make a move, especially at first base. There was just nothing there with France gone. But I wonder how many home runs Justin Turner actually hits in Seattle.
Nolan Schanuel or Justin Turner?
Good comp, Justin Turner.
Michael Toglia or Justin Turner?
Oh, God. I'll cop out. Power Toglia, batting average Turner. That's at this point in the season, look at categories.
A player we'll talk about later, but I'll bring him in because I think this is almost a Spider-Man gif here. Mark Canha or Justin Turner?
Oh, Jesus. Throwing these names at me here. Mark Canha. I'll go Justin Turner.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so this will be a quick one. Quinn Priester to the Red Sox. Thoughts?
I don't really have any.
People think they can fix him, but I'll wait and see and watch from a distance on that one. Jalen Beeks goes to the Pirates. He's just a late inning dude, but there are ramifications in Colorado if you're feeling frisky, right?
Yeah. Congrats to Colorado on making their one move on the trade deadline here. The blockbuster Jalen Beeks. It's Victor Vodnik is the guy in Colorado, but he's a ground ball guy. Gets ground balls, which you want at Coors Field. But the strikeouts, walks aren't what we want from a closer, and we have all been burned by Coors closers before. So you got to be real desperate for saves if you want to go Victor Vodnik. But he is safe in the role with Jalen Beeks off to Pittsburgh.
I added Vodnik in 2 15 team leagues this past week.
Oh, so Jesus, you did?
$6, baby.
You start him?
I believe so, actually, yes, because times are tough in 15s these days. Times are tough, so yes, we did. Mark Leiter Jr. goes to the Yankees. He pitched an extras today. Just a late bullpen arm. Lucas Sims goes to the Red Sox. Trevor Rogers. Here we go. Almost just flew
you
past
can keep
this
going.
One.
You can almost just flew keep going, past dude. This
one. One of Ryan's this. Former guys. I'll be nice. Former guys. I'll be nice about this because there's a lot of cover boy stuff with Trevor Rogers a year or two ago for Ryan Bloomfield. He gets traded to the Baltimore Orioles for Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers. Like, to me, I know that, again, prospects are prospects till proven otherwise. You couldn't have asked for more if you're a Miami Marlins player or team right now. So what's your thoughts on Trevor Rogers going to Baltimore?
I mean, I have thoughts.
Yes, you do. I'm going to get a sip of water. You take your time.
But I am also very triggered by Trevor Rodgers and what he did to me in 2022.
I just saw your notes on the outline.
Saw that? Little yep, sub-bullet?
That's good. With,
it's along the lines of Joe Arrico in the chat saying he sucks. So, yes.
Joe's is nicer.
It rhymes with
he sucks.
Yeah. And yeah, Jesus. I don't know. So if I'm putting my non-biased hat on, from a team context and park context standpoint, this is awesome for Trevor Rodgers. He will be the fifth guy in the rotation for Baltimore. He will get run support, assuming he can actually go five innings, which is a tall task in and of itself. And he does get, Baltimore in left field. So, because we all know he gives up a ton of home runs, but over the last, I tweeted this out, but like over the last, since 2022, there's been 163 starting pitchers with 200 innings. Trevor Rodgers is 158th in WHIP, 145th in ERA, and 129th in K-minus walk. So I don't know, man. Baltimore obviously thinks they can fix him. The changeup is still really good, but like Sarah's put out a tweet today that like the fastball velocity is way down from that 2021 season. I don't know. This has been one of the worst pitchers in baseball for the last couple years, and I don't. The return's the return. I don't really know much about Norby and Stowers, but like you're adding someone who I think is a downgrade from Albert Suarez. So like I don't see how this helps the Baltimore Orioles or your fantasy team.
They DFA'd Cole Irvin for him.
Like Cole Irvin is just as good as Trevor Rodgers.
Yep.
I'm probably gonna eat crow because watch Trevor Rodgers stick it to me again and go off these last 2 months. But I didn't. This was a head scratcher. I don't have too many takes on trades, on the Twitter. But I did out this one. And Joe says in the chat that both he and I were on board with that. Got some pushback today on that one. But so be it. It's fun to banter back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, they DFA'd Cole Irvin, and they also know they still have Bruce Zimmerman, right? They got bad left-handed pitchers if they need them.
Yeah, they got plenty of bad lefties.
That was a surprise. Let's put it that way. Quite the surprise. Another surprise for the Orioles, they traded for Eloy Jimenez, outfielder. Everyone said outfielder Eloy Jimenez, which brought many laughs to the Twitterverse. Eloy with that Mount Baltimore, whatever they have going on there, that is not going to end well.
Do they actually call it Mount Baltimore, or is it just
Baltimore? I heard Baltimore. I've heard it called Baltimore.
Yeah, there's some Mount Baltimore. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, the Eloy thing was confusing as hell. Like, I think that's the final nail for Heston Kjerstad. I hope it doesn't affect our guy, our regular Thursday night semi-mascot, Ryan O'Hearn, because, I mean, Eloy, I guess, is going to DH against righties, but, who does that take away from? Is it the occasional Adley Rutschman DH or just kind of rotating thing? That means an extra day off per week or whatever for a lot of guys in the Orioles, and that stuff does kind of add up. So definitely a confusing one for me. Eloy has not been, health aside, Eloy has not really been that great for a little while. So I don't know, man. The Orioles are smarter than me, but like two confusing moves here in the mind of Bloomfield.
Yeah, very strange indeed. Josh Bell was claimed off waivers and traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks for cash considerations on Tuesday. I tweeted out immediately. I'm like, oh, no, this can't be good for Christian Walker. But the MRI came back on Christian Walker, and it's a mild oblique strain. It's the best outcome they could hope for. So it's like a few weeks. You're hoping for 2-3 weeks, hopefully, if all goes well for Christian Walker, which still means Josh Bell is going to be in a good D-backs lineup for a couple weeks, and Josh Bell was on fire before he got let go. So this is a move if you want to at least stream for the time being. Josh Bell's worth a shot.
Agreed. Definitely a lineup upgrade for Josh Bell. And yeah, really hasn't been like that bad lately. So I agree. I think while Josh Bell or while Christian Walker is on the IL, this is a decent corner infield stream for you.
Yep. Baltimore Orioles got another starting pitcher who's still in rehab. That is Alex Cobb, who popped a blister in his last rehab start.
Guardians.
Guardians. I was still making fun of the Orioles, thinking they got another guy down for the count. But the Guardians traded for Alex Cobb from the Giants. Yeah, because that surprised me as well. Cobb's going to make one more rehab start once his blister heals, then join the rotation, which consists currently of Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, Ben Lively, Carrasco, and Joey Cantillo. So he will take Joey Cantillo's spot more likely than not. But I personally have always been an Alex Cobb fan. I know there's the ups and downs of rostering Alex Cobb, but when Cobb's on, he's actually pretty darn good, and I think he fits in beautifully with Cleveland.
Agreed. It's all just about health for Alex Cobb. So nothing earth shattering there, but yeah, Cleveland, you would think they don't make many moves. Like, they're pretty conservative. So I feel like when they do make a move, they've done their research on this one. Not that teams that make moves a lot don't do it, but I feel like this means Cleveland is at least confident that Alex Cobb will be healthy enough to give them some quality innings down the stretch. And so I think that's actionable from a fantasy standpoint. If you want to start stashing Cobb, if Cleveland believes it's healthy, why shouldn't we?
Yep, I'd be stashing for sure. And I forgot their other move on this list here. Lane Thomas, they acquired from the Washington Nationals. He was batting second against the lefty on Tuesday. There were rumors saying that Lane Thomas would platoon because he mashes lefties and does not hit righties well. That terrifies me from a fantasy standpoint. Like, I get it from real life. And the Guardians always have a ton of outfielders out there, so they could do this. What's your thoughts on this? Because I'm going to watch this week, and if he's platooning, I don't want to drop Lane Thomas, but at this point in the season, I can't have a platooning Lane Thomas sitting on my bench.
Yeah, I do a little wait and see there before we make such rash decisions. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there with Lane Thomas. I think Cleveland gave enough for Lane Thomas that they see him as an everyday guy, but could be wrong. We'll get, hopefully, I haven't looked at this week's schedule. Do they face any lefties? I'm not sure. But the biggest thing, similar to the Jesse Winker, what I said before, is this is someone leaving Washington. And a lot of Lane Thomas's value is tied to stolen bases. Lane Thomas has 28 steals and 300 in like a partial season, 340 plate appearances. Guy has 28 steals. I'm not saying he's not going to run in Cleveland, but you're hitting right ahead of contact guy Jose Ramirez. Like, I don't think Lane Thomas is going to run as much in Cleveland as you start laughing here, as he did in Washington. So I think it's a stolen base downgrade for Lane Thomas.
Guess who he plays? They have the day off Wednesday. Guess who they face on Thursday, potentially?
Don't say Baltimore and Trevor Rogers.
Trevor Rogers. See who he's getting to face on Thursday. And then it's three righties after that, Kramer, Eflin, and Burns. So
we still won't really know, because Trevor Rogers is such a bad pitcher that doesn't even count as a lefty.
But we'll know because of the Kramer, Burns, and Eflin. By the end of the weekend, we'll have an idea of what they're doing with Lane Thomas. So keep an eye on that one, folks. But yeah, it's gonna be, I wouldn't be dropping him, but if we see a clear, I might even wait another week, but if we see a clear platoon, it's gonna have to change things up quite a bit here. The Kansas City Royals, they traded for Lucas Irsig of the Oakland Athletics. We talked about him last week on the Fab preview and panned out that he got traded. Do you know that Lucas Irsig has 5 more years of team control? That is insane.
He's like not young, is he?
At least that's what I saw somewhere. I thought 5 was a lot, but let me actually pull up his page here, because someone said 5 years. Like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, he's free agent in 2030.
How old is he?
He is 29 years old. That sucks.
Yeah,
if you're,
I shouldn't laugh. Yeah, that sucks for old that you're seeing. But
this, to me, it's a great move for the Royals. Like, you got a guy that's a back end arm here. Like, James MacArthur's still there. They traded for Hunter Harvey, who's there. So they bolstered the back end of that bullpen as they're trying to make a push to the postseason. I still think it's MacArthur's world that we're living in, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see some bobbing and weaving in the back end of that bullpen.
Did he sign with? Dude, that's weird. That's bizarre. To be under team control until you're 35.
I'm guessing he spent, like, when he got drafted, he spent all his time in the minors. Finally, he got drafted in 2016.
Had a little too much fun in college and 7-8 year plan.
He got drafted in 2016 in round 2. By the Brewers, got traded to the A's in July of 24. He just basically, because your clock doesn't start to get called out, so he probably spent all his time in the minors and just kind of hung around.
Yeah, that's tough. I think MacArthur stays the closer in Kansas City. I think the biggest thing here is Oakland is not an awful team. There will be save ops. Tyler Ferguson, I think is the guy. Got two saves this past week and pitched the ninth tonight against your Giants. It was a non-save situation, four-run game in the ninth, but Ferguson came in, gave up a run. But I think Ferguson, if you need saves, he's not great, but he's better than like Victor Vodnik, and I think we'll get more save ops and be a little bit more effective. 27 Ks, 10 walks, and 23 innings for Tyler Ferguson. He's also somewhat of an old, I believe, but saves are saves. So I think Ferguson, that's the big takeaway out of this move is Urseg opening up that slot for Ferguson.
Mason Miller did throw a bullpen on Tuesday with a cast on his left hand. So basically once the cast is off, he'll be back. So just keep an eye on that as well. Gialdi of the chat here, Kansas City Royals guy. I think it goes Harvey for saves, then Urseg. Harvey looked good tonight. So we'll see. I still think
MacArthur. No MacArthur at all.
He's watching it much more than me. So
here we go. That Urseg used to be a position player. Okay.
Wasn't he like third base for the Brewers? Now it's starting to ring a bell because I remember like drafting him in a DC 1 year and it just didn't pan out. So that kind of makes sense. Okay. So the clock got started. The clock got reset essentially, is what it came down to. That's not good. Not good, Bob. Andrew Chafin traded to the Rangers. It's just a good baseball move, and he could see closing duties if things get rough there, if like something happens to Yates for some reason, but it's Yates for now. But just keep an eye on Chafin. He's that good. He has not allowed a run, and he's allowed one run, I mean, over his last 18 appearances. So Chafin's been pretty good. Paul DeJong traded to the Royals, switched dugouts. He's basically a utility player, is the best I could say out of it. I wouldn't get too excited there. And if you have any comments, cut me off, but I'm just gonna start running through some of these. Paul Blackburn, we could actually talk about this real quick if you want, traded to the Mets. He was on the IL for 2 months, made one start last week versus the Angels, gave up four runs and five and a third. We've seen Blackburn be serviceable in his career, at least in fantasy. It's streaming once in a while. So that was just his first start off the IL. I think there's obviously something better there. But what's your thoughts on this Paul Blackburn of the Mets situation?
I think in spurts in the right spot, maybe Blackburn, but I think this is still like a mid fours ERA type of guy. Doesn't miss many bats, doesn't throw many strikes, doesn't really do anything above average. So I wonder what this means for the Mets rotation. Like, is David Peterson out? Well, are they going six or?
Well, with Christian Scott gone, Kota Singa gone, honestly, it makes you wonder, does Tyler McGill get the boot again? Is what I'm thinking.
Oh, McGill again.
That's kind of where I'm leaning, just because, you know, he hasn't really been like, we know the skills are there, but he has not showcased it still. Every time he gets a chance, it's not there. So I could see McGill, like even Roster Resource has McGill out now. That's the guy I think it could be. Okay. And I think it should be, but we'll have to wait and see, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, the Mets have obviously shown the willingness to boot him back to AAA. Rest of the season, Paul Blackburn or Trevor Rogers?
Oh, Blackburn easily. I want zero to do.
All right, so you're on board with me here. You just sat back and watched.
I tweeted about it, but I was very like PC and like polite about it, unlike some other people, which is rare for me. I'm usually the wrong guy in that situation, but I was very polite in my thought process on Trevor Rogers. So yes. Speaking of Rogers, Trevor Richards was traded to the Minnesota Twins, another bullpen or long reliever option there. Tanner Scott, one of the big splashes on Tuesday, goes to the San Diego Padres along with Brian Hoeing, I believe, the right-handed reliever. So Scott's the big piece there. Now it goes with Robert Suarez, like we talked about, Estrada and Jason Adam, which is outstanding. The Marlins got four minor leaguers, Adam Mazur, who hasn't been good, but quote-unquote pedigree, Graham Pauly, some other guys. They got four pieces. But what's your thoughts on this Tanner Scott going there? I still think it's Robert Suarez's world, but I could see a situation where we start seeing lefty-righty stuff.
Yeah, this is one, like, it's a big trade for fantasy. I don't know until we get some reps, some save ops for either team, what's going to happen. I don't know what that split looks like between Tanner Scott and Suarez. Maybe it's just matchup-based, but we don't unless I missed a coach's comment or some manager's comment, I don't think we have any lean on where that's going right now. The San Diego bullpen, just real baseball wise, is nasty right now. So that they are obviously setting up for a run. They don't have, let's see, how many lefties? They've got other lefties. They've got Matsui and Adrian Morejon and Tanner Scott lefty. So they could put Scott in the ninth and not have be the only lefty. So I don't know. I also don't know in Miami for whatever, however many save opportunities there are left. If it's Nardi, Bender, or Foucher, there are takes, there are opinions out there. I don't know who's right. I don't think anyone knows who's right. And again, it may not be worth our time to be fishing for Marlins saves.
Well done. Well done on that one, by the way. I'd almost rather go with Vaughnik because at least I know he's the closer. Like, as bad as that sounds, if I have to pick one, or go get Ferguson out of Oakland for
another. Oh, yes, I would absolutely. Ferguson and Anthony Gialdi in the chat seems and it very close to the Royals does seem to be on the Hunter Harvey thing. So I'd take Harvey over any of these three.
Yes, I'm with you there. Marlins so, yeah, guys. Just keep an eye on that one. I wouldn't get too excited, though, as Ryan said. Brian De La Cruz, this one came out of nowhere. The Pirates made some moves today. Like, it was kind of fun to watch. The Pirates acquired Brian De La Cruz to join the outfield fray there, which definitely puts an end to Edward Olivares ever coming back this season. The question I have, like, De La Cruz should play every single day. We saw Jack Sawinski go back to AAA already. You got Brian Reynolds in the outfield. You got Palacios platooning with Michael Taylor. So I'd imagine we see De La Cruz playing every single day, and maybe even a fantasy boost for him.
Yeah, could be. And I do agree that De La Cruz is going to play every day. I mean, the skills wise, the power is absolutely there. The K's have ticked up a little, but 11%, 34 barrels already for Brian De La Cruz on 18 home runs. So, I like this for Brian De La Cruz. Better lineup, better pieces around him, and keeps that everyday playing time. I wonder what it with on the flip side, like on the Marlins. I guess this goes back to love how I'm mentioning Nick Gordon multiple times on a podcast in 2024. But I think this further cements Nick Gordon as potentially an everyday guy. Started against a lefty this evening, hit eighth. So,
yeah, you could see more Nick Gordon. I would also sit back and just watch what the call ups are, because their roster is very they traded 9 players today on their active roster. So there was a lot of just get your body up here for the day type moves. Let's keep an eye on what Miami does the next few days, because they could let some pros. Like, we're still waiting for Davis De Los Santos to get called up. We could see Kyle Stowers come up and get some outfield reps. We could see a lot of moving parts like that. So keep an eye on all that situations. The Pirates also acquired Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to play a utility role, and he's actually been pretty good this year for Toronto, hitting for average. Occasional homer, occasional steal, but a good utility player is the best way I could put it.
Agreed. Just kind of plug some holes, hitting for batting average, and yeah. Does have more home runs than barrels this year. 7 homers, 5 barrels. So I think this is still the IKF that is not very useful. Still on the IL, too. I don't know when he's actually coming back, but I don't know. Useful if you need a body in 15-teamers. That's about it.
Yeah, PJ is a Marlins fan, and he says Stowers is supposed to be starting in the majors for Miami. So there you go. And PJ and Gialdi both like Nardi quite a bit as the closer. So if you're into that game, that's what they're saying. And PJ apparently follows the Marlins way more than most people do. Kevin Kiermaier, acquired by the Los Angeles Dodgers, probably as a defensive replacement late in games. Don't get too excited there. But the Dodgers made another big move. And they didn't seem to have to get – they gave up some good prospects that, from what I've been told. Again, we're not prospect guys. But the Dodgers acquired Jack Flaherty to give them a heck of a postseason rotation. So I'm just going to say, like, fantasy, it's fantasy. You're good. But any thoughts on Flaherty to the Dodgers?
I mean, yeah, huge team context upgrade. I mean, you're not doing anything with Jack Flaherty. I wonder – this is pure speculation, but – prospect people say the return was rather light for Jack Flaherty. Not even just the market. The market, right? It was rather light compared to other starting Kikuchi. Pitcher trades, right? Like Kikuchi, not to bring up TR again, but Trevor Rogers, folks were saying like that haul was just as good as Flaherty, you know, whatever. I don't know. I wonder if, and Detroit held this all the way till the end. Like, our team's a little nervous about
the injuries.
Yeah. The back with Jack Flaherty. That's the one thing. Like, I mean, teams are smarter than we are. Teams get the med reports. I wonder if that's why the return in most prospect folks' eyes was lower than we thought. And therefore if you have Jack Flaherty, yes, you're stoked, but just keep that in mind and maybe grab an extra pitcher in Fab this week, just in case.
Yeah, Stephen Crawford says there were reports the Yankees pulled out of the deal based on medical
results. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that as well. So
makes a lot of sense.
I don't know, but.
And I don't know who Detroit's bringing up to fill that roster spot. Maybe we'll see Matt Manning. Maybe.
Yay.
That's been like a lot of hype that the production has not been there yet type thing. So I have to wait back and see there.
And will River Ryan probably, or Justin Robleski, one of those two?
I'm hoping it's Robleski that goes back to AAA. I'd like to see some more River Ryan, but I guess time will tell and we'll see who floats up the river on that one. We got the Dylan Carlson traded to the Tampa Bay Rays, which hit Dylan Carlson. This one was surprising because guys like Matt Thompson and other Cardinals people were saying, just put Dylan Carlson in AAA, has three more options. Like, why are we trading Dylan Carlson? It made no sense. So that's past us, though. So who cares? But Dylan Carlson goes to Tampa Bay. I just thought, like, okay, well, now this is another guy to get in the way of Johnny DeLuca to play, Palacios. Carlson being a switch hitter can do anything. So what's your thoughts here?
No, I mean, jokes aside of rostering former St. Louis Cardinals,
yes,
as a fruitful keeper league strategy, Dylan Carlson's, he's got no homers, no steals, 138 plate appearances, hitting 198. Like, and I don't think plays every day for the Rays. So I think this is a no-go despite the three options left. That's weird.
Yeah, three options left, which I was agreeing with. If he's got three options, why are we trading him again? That makes no sense, but I digress. The Boston Red Sox at the last minutes picked up a nice back-end bullpen arm in Luis Garcia from the Angels. They already picked up Lucas Sims earlier in the day. That's a decent reliever. You know, with Kenley Jansen, it's a good season, but he's old. He's always got injury concerns. This gives them a nice plan B if things go south with Kenley Jansen. So similar to like Chafin, if God forbid something happens to Kirby Yates, something happens to Kenley Jansen, Garcia is the dude you want.
Agreed. And I think the immediate takeaway was Ben Joyce. But as we did Hunter Strickland, did he actually convert the save before we?
Yes, he did. Three up, three down, two ground outs and a strikeout.
Wow. Wow. So, yes, yeah, so your pick. So Hunter Strickland or Victor Vodnik?
Ben Joyce.
Really?
I'd probably go Vodnik between the two. I just don't think Strickland keeps it. That dude's he's a blow up away from literally blowing up, probably.
Yeah, it's definitely a good call, Luis Garcia, on the plan B for Jansen side. I like that. Yeah, Strickland, a 0.98 whip this year, man.
He's been very effective out of the bullpen, but it was not in closing roles. We know how closing situations change pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't strike anyone out or miss bats, so that's also a problem. But
yes, exactly.
He'll get picked up in Fab.
And if, hey, go do the old keep him honest. I know people love that phrase. Keep him honest. Like, throw a couple bucks out there, $2-$3. Dude, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this applies to Vodnik as well, though I still can't get over Coors. But any reliever over a two-month sample, like, we have no – it's like 15, 20 innings. We have no idea how any reliever is going to perform over 15, 20 innings. So,
and if
you've got the job, go for it.
And you do it for a couple bucks, it's an easy drop. I got zero problem doing stuff like that. It's easy. And this time of the year, a couple saves could go a long way when all things are said and done. Then just a couple minor moves here. Dylan Floro traded to the D-backs, bullpen depth. Mark Canha traded to the Giants. He's supposed to DH and play first base. He basically takes Soler's spot, which is weird because when Soler got traded, they said they're going to bring Marco Luciano up to DH, which he did on Tuesday, but Mark Canha's not there yet. So I have no clue what's going on in that situation. But basically what it turned out to was the Giants dumped the Cobb contract. They dumped the Soler contract, and they got back Canha, who's done at the end of this year, where the other guys had more money to spend, and basically kept the rotation intact. And now we have no depth in the rotation. Hayden Birdsong, didn't mention that. He's going to be locked into the rotation now with Cobb gone. So that's tremendous. That is
a drop in a lot of leagues last week, Hayden Birdsong. So.
And I mentioned it in my Substack yesterday, in my my notes that I do. They optioned him to San Jose. Whenever they option the player to San Jose instead of Sacramento, the single A team, because it's close to San Francisco, they're usually coming back very soon. So, like, before he got... Yes, they always want to keep him close because, like, when he got sent down but came back for the doubleheader, he went to San Jose. Then after the doubleheader, went back to San Jose. I'm like, okay, someone's getting dealt. Like, you could just feel it come. I thought it was Snell. Like, that's what I thought it was. Didn't think it was Cobb, but here we are. So Birdsong will be a phenomenal pickup this weekend. I'll take my chances there, see where that goes. But the Kana thing, I don't know. I keep platoons with Wade, is the way, or Lamont Wade is the way I see it. Flores is banged up. I don't see a lot of fantasy appeal for Kana. It's more real-life appeal. He's a Bay Area guy. Let's see where it goes from there. Dylan Floro, bullpen depth of the D-backs. I mentioned that. Martin Perez traded to the Padres. That's a better real-life move than a – I don't even know if it's a good real-life move, but it's a fifth starter for the Padres. He's got a 5-plus ERA and like a almost 5 Sierra and a 6% K to walk. So it helps, though, when all he has to do is throw like 5 innings with that bullpen. He just has to throw 5 innings. So that's a start. Austin Slater traded to the Orioles. The last bit of news here, Gregory Soto traded to the Orioles to add more bullpen depth to Baltimore. So any thoughts on any of those that I don't think are that important, honestly?
No, not really. Just wondering how long the Austin Slater in Cincinnati tenure was. Wasn't he there for
like three weeks, games?
Maybe. Yeah. Was it longer than 3 games?
It was like 2 or 3 weeks. Like 2 or 3 weeks. Because I rejoiced when he left San Francisco. So
that's right.
Yeah. Yep. He was gone for a little bit, but all right. Big, you have any takeaways from the deadline before we move on to listener questions? Because that was a fun one for sure. Gialdi asks, is Mason Black hurt? Mason Black's banged up, also not producing as great as they like. So it's Birdsong's time for now. And then maybe we see Black in September. Keaton Wynn got, he ended his season with surgery, so he's done. But he was asking, Gialdi's asking about Mason Black, maybe a September thing for him.
Kind of macro level takeaways was just the insanity of the relief pitcher market this year was pretty wild. And while there were a ton of prospects being dealt, there really weren't any like premium prospects. So there's a tweet from Chris Clegg out earlier this afternoon, who Chris Clegg does excellent work coming to First Pitch Arizona, has played in our golf event as well, subtle plug. Chris says it was a seller's market, but when the dust settled, Augustin Ramirez was the only prospect that I have in my top 100 that was traded. So that's another takeaway to me, is like teams held their best prospects. The prospects that were traded was more volume than quality. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think I saw Travis Sawchuk tweet out something similar to that, which was very surprising to me, thinking how many people got traded and none of the big dogs actually went. So that was quite a good takeaway there, but we'll see where it goes. And again, some more guys might be on the move through waivers or whatnot here in August, but the dust has settled, and now we get to see who gets that third wild card spot and who wishes they would have traded people. So that'll be funny as well. Some listener questions for you here. Taylor Johnson on Twitter says, who are the guys who are probably available and now in the mix for saves after all the deadline deals? I think we hit on a few of them. Ursig, Hunter Harvey, those be there. Nardi. Strickland. Nardi, if you're in that game. Who's your Oakland guy?
Ferguson in Oakland.
Ferguson. Vodnik in Colorado.
If I had to rank those guys that we just mentioned, I'd go Ferguson. And then I guess Vodnik.
The only concern I have with Ferguson is literally like Mason Miller could be back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Maybe but I'm assuming Miller's out for longer. That's a good point.
That's like basically throwing the bullpen. They said once the cast is off, he's coming back. So,
yeah,
that's my only concern there. All right. Simon P says, it'll only question, will Kana's arrival cost Fitzgerald or Ramos any playing time? I would think so, but who stands to lose time, if anyone? I say it's a Lamont Wade situation. If he comes in and messes with Fitzgerald or Ramos, there will be a riot in San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah. That's your squad. So I won't add anything there. That makes sense.
He says, how does the Pirates outfield play out with the new arrivals? Well, I think we agree Reynolds and De La Cruz should play every day.
Yeah. Reynolds, De La Cruz, and.
And then Palacios and Taylor, platoon and center.
Yeah. That's sounds good to me. I think how it would happen. Yeah.
Oh, like he says, I have Palacios, was hoping he'd play a lot down the stretch. Will Sawinski see at bats? Sawinski will see at bats at AAA. So
yeah,
that's what he will see. He also asked, does the Cobb trade cement a rotation spot for Birdsong? Yes, he does.
Yep.
For now. Yes. Calling My Shot says, among the recently freed new kids with playing time, who is your most and least favorite? Johnny DeLuca, Miguel Vargas, Austin Hayes, Connor Norby.
Good question. I think he added one more Loper
Fido. You said anyone else you can think of. He said anyone else you can think of.
I would go Austin Hayes and then Miguel Vargas.
I'm with you as well. Johnny DeLuca would be my least favorite because I just feel like with all the moves, it's just going to turn into a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Hayes and Vargas, I'm with you there. I think Hayes is he was once a fantasy regular. You can just plug him in and go. So I'm a fan of that. Michael Cicchini says, was Scott Harris drunk? Was Scott Harris drunk?
Yeah. No, here's the Detroit rant.
Yeah. Was he drunk? Overplaying his hand early, panicked late. Just trying to keep Detroit 3 years away for the 11th straight year. Maybe just a basketball guy. No big deal if you don't read this. I'm just pissed off.
Hey, if I can vent on Trevor Rogers, Bubba can vent on San Francisco, our listeners can vent on their
team. This is a safe space. This is a safe space.
Yeah. I'll go just for comedy, I'll go C and D there. He's more interested in basketball and tanking the Tigers.
Cheese Moon Astronaut says, fallout for the Marlins lineup. Any attainable gems emerge for fantasy after the big sell? I think Kyle Stowers, Davis and De Los Santos, those are the guys I'd be interested in.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Xavier Edwards at the top, probably owned in most spots, and then Nick Gordon in deeper leagues.
Yep, I'm with you there. Tanner Scott, hold any value in San Diego?
TBD, I don't know. I think he does hold some value. It just depends on what that closer split's going to be.
And then, is Hayes a fantasy sleeper in Philly? Yes. I don't know if he's a sleeper very much, but yes.
Yeah, he's an upgrade for sure.
This is a loaded question because I don't know how you could pull this one out of your rear end, but go for it. Rod L says, favorite buy low starting pitcher and hitter?
Buy low starting pitcher, I'll go Trevor Rogers. I'll go Hayden Birdsong just because I think a bunch of folks cut him last week and I like him.
I think that's a good one as well. And then the last one I got here, that's just a Simon's ranting about the Giants. I already covered that one, so we're good there. All right. I think that's everything. Ooh. I think we got them all. Not a bad time.
I think
we got
them all. I realized mid-show that we didn't have Lane Thomas on there, but as a pro that you are, you just kind of weave that one in there. I think we covered
majority.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
At least fantasy relevant stuff. Yeah.
Yes, the relevant ones. And if you have questions, let us know. We'll talk about it on Thursday because we'll be right back with you as usual. Fun stuff, Ryan. I know I already asked you your thoughts on the trade deadline, but any final thoughts? No, trades are done. We'll be in August when we talk again on Thursday. 2 months of the season to go. We have like eight or nine fab weeks to go. We're down on the stretch here pretty soon.
We are a little less than 2 months. And if you're still listening at this point, you're a diehard. And I will just reiterate, if you're this fantasy obsessed, come to First Pitch Arizona. And we appreciate you, of course.
Both. Yes, we appreciate you. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back to you guys Thursday to preview the week 20 fab for you. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. And until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 156. Catch you all later.